All right, take us away, cowboy. Let's rock and roll.
Take us away. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Three Quarter Time. It is another episode in the midst of the Australian winter. It's freezing. It's Antarctic. It's just blizzardous. I don't know if that's a word, but the two clowns who do this podcast with me have returned from their basically an attempt at a budget Euro summer. But they've gone to the wonderful surf coast, surfer's paradise. Cookie, Janus, how are we, lads? Welcome back from the Gold Coast. And Cookie, you have a beautiful setup there.
Hopefully all the people at home can see me nice and clearly now.
Yes.
Yes, I've moved place, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to upgrade the camera. Honestly, it's much better now.
It is.
It's exciting. I'm ready to produce some content.
Yes. That is what we're here for. And Janus, how are you after the beautiful sun rays and waves of the Gold Coast?
I feel tropically refreshed. Yes. Came back. You know, glad I went. Glad I'm back. It's rock and roll.
That is beautiful. Now, the lads have returned, and it has been quite possibly the worst round of football in modern memory. However, it was concluded by quite possibly one of the greatest games or last quarters a team has ever produced. It is the greatest three-quarter time comeback from St Kilda, a 46-point deficit, if I am not mistaken. Janus, what was going through your mind when that was unfolding?
I was just thinking, how are the Saints doing this again at the back end of the season? They love it when there's no pressure on them. Finals are out of the way, and they can just play pure champagne football. When Sharman dobbed that goal from 60, I'm like, oh my lord, what is happening? And then obviously Wanking and Miller up, give him literally $3,000 billion. He is him.
Bang. Cookie, have you ever seen a team? I think now from a Melbourne point of view, you've played the most footy out of a lot of us here. What is going through Melbourne's mind, I guess, when that is happening?
I tell you what, it's so hard in football to stop momentum. When like a team of 23 blokes feels like they're invincible, what are you supposed to do to stop them? There's 23 of them on the field. There's 18 of them. Like, you know what I mean? It's just so hard. Like, you need so many people to stop that momentum, and they literally could do nothing. It's a sign of a poor team, really. A good team never, ever lets that sort of stuff happen. But from experience, it's such a bad feeling. Knowing you kind of feel helpless. You just can't do anything. And it's like, why is today the day the Saints turn into, like, prime 96 Bulls? You know what I mean? It's just like, why?
Yeah.
But the joke is with that, like, Melbourne did have a few chances to sort of dob it back, but Oliver had a chance and he kicked it out of bounds on the full.
Yeah, I know.
I think Chandler had a chance and he, like, didn't even score. Like, it's literally like the gods are going against you.
100%.
It does not help at all. Whereas you see Sharman absolutely banging it from 60, Wood taking marks, Wang Dean Miller are jumping on blokes. Like, crazy. It's funny.
Yeah, Naz was fair income unbelievable. I suppose the only other highlight out of the weekend was that Doherty farewelled. But even then, that game was over at 5 minutes into the game. That game was over pretty early. But Naz did kick a goal after the siren. So the question has to be asked, what is the greatest goals after the siren in history? Cookie, you're a big Hawks man. You've been a part of some classics. Been on the end of, like, negatively, I'd say.
End of a lot of negatively. The biggest one that comes to mind and still haunts me to this day, and Cats fans will always remember this, Tom Hawkins just clunks it about 55 out. Schoenbaker's leads. Not close enough. And I'm in my seat. I'm level 4. I remember this. And I'm just sitting. And I'm like, no. Like, please. I've seen Jimmy Bartel already do it in whatever it was, 2009. And I'm like, please, no. and he just absolutely launches it. And my dad's a Geelong man next to me. He just starts screaming, and I'm like, I can't do this. It's like it's the worst feeling if your team is on the other end of it, especially when we should have won.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Well, I was in 2020. I was lucky. I had, COVID was tough for everybody. I'll just say that. And not a lot went right personally. Like, well, I didn't really have much to cheer about, to be honest, because I was in year 11. I didn't really do much. There wasn't really much going on. And then Robbie Gray kicked a goal after the siren in like round six or something, seven, eight or nine from the boundary against the Blues. But then in late, I think it was July, August, that time of the year, Jack Nunes got a downfield free kick that wasn't even his, by the way. It was Michael Gibbons' free kick. But Nunesy took the ball, told the security guard to bugger off, and then threw the electrical cables out of the way. And I've never seen a better kick in my life to this day. He just dobbed it from 45 outside the field of play and split the guts. And I'll never forget where I was. I was in the kitchen having a drink of water because I just had to drink water. That was like my coping mechanism for Carlton in tight games back then. So I was drinking a glass of water, and then he kicked it, and both my dad and I fell to our knees cheering. We were so happy. It was just euphoria. But it made up for the Robbie Gray heartbreak because that was devastating. Anyway, Janus.
Well, now the cookie has said that he was on the receiving end of the Hawkins after the sign. It did make me think that Geelong have actually been on the positive end of a lot of them. Rowan, obviously, after the sign against the Dogs. You said Bartel, Point. Hawkins, I think, drew it against the Giants. And then even this year, Crisp missed after the siren. But that's not what I want to talk about. I was there at the MCG in 2022 when Jamie Elliott is tight in the pocket against Essendon. But I wasn't there as a spectator. No, I was working it. I was in the old corporate suites. It was a mixed box. It was Collingwood and Essendon. Essendon were up, obviously, for most of for probably the better half of the game. And I remember the Essendon fans in the box were going quite bananas at it. But in that last passage of play, champagne football, you get it to Jamie Elliott. I think it was it Trent Bianco that kicked it to him? I think it was.
It was. Good call.
Geez, that is a name I have not thought about in a very long time. But that passage from defense into offense, because I think, did Harrison Jones hit the post?
Yeah.
He did. Jeez, it's coming right back to me. Moore gets it out. Bianco obviously kicks it to Elliott.
No, didn't Pendles kick it?
I think it was Pendles, Bianco, and then Moore. Then Elliott. But where my corporate box was, it was right under that pocket. So I had literally the perfect view. The box is obviously going absolutely mental. I'm there. I'm meant to be working. I'm not working. I'm watching the game as well. And I reckon I was probably barracking for Collingwood, to be honest. And when he split that, I think they tipped me afterwards because of it.
Yes.
We love the Giants.
I fell to my knees after that kick too. I was not happy. But it just, goal after the siren. I lost a grand final after the siren.
You did too?
Did you really?
I lost a grand final. Our captain hadn't really had a kick for probably 6 weeks going into the game, really. He was like medium forward. Kick three in the first quarter. It was one of the most inspirational performances from our skipper. Sammy, shout out. It was inspirational. Anyway, I don't really have much memory of the game other than I was on the bench and then a bloke in our team got tackled, handballed it, but on his follow through hit the ball again and the umpire was blindsided and paid a throw. And then they had a shot after the siren and won by 2 points or something. But the controversy before, there was a whole like timing controversy before that, because one of the players on the opposition team broke their collarbone. And there was like a timing thing that we didn't know the rules of. So that's why we were confused. But anyway, it turns out the bloke who did it, I found out about 5 years after it happened, was a good mate of mine in high school that I didn't know until high school. So, yeah, losing a grand final after the siren just sucks. But I was fortunate to win a premiership the following year, literally the following year. So, like Brisbane, like lose and then win a grand final the following year absolutely handsomely. We smashed them. We won by 7 goals or something. It was beautiful. Champagne football. But you know what they say? They say, like, do you think about the euphoria of the win or do you think about the pain of the loss? I think about the pain of that loss more than winning it, probably. Because we could have gone back to back. But that was, yeah, losing a grand final after the siren sucks.
I lost 2 grand finals and then the third year won my first one. 3 years, 3 grand finals in a row.
That's beautiful.
That was so lucky we won that. Like, as in, we won by 6 goals, but imagine losing 3 grand finals in a row and that's your football career done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ty Lohman and Sam Butler beat me in one of those grand finals, actually.
Bang.
For the Lakers, right?
I never thought they were that good, but I guess I've been proved wrong. Look at me and look at them.
Yes. You could be playing AFL if you wanted to, great man.
Oh, definitely. Anyway, so actually in that game, we got absolutely belted. I reckon by about 10 goals. I reckon we lost that game by. So I think that transitions us straight into the next segment. There were some absolute thumpings this round in the AFL. We had like Essendon get drubbed by 100, North give the worst performance I've ever seen. I mean, it was just shocking, really.
Last one, two short of the ton in biggest the West.
Biggest showdown loss in history. I mean, it's just, I guess it's the AFL right now. Those teams don't need to win. So, some of the biggest, what are the biggest sporting blowouts you've had in your personal careers? Janus, kick us away. Give us it.
Well, I don't have to look that far. I only have to look back to last year.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
Me and T-Gub, we were playing at Royal Park in a semi-final for pennant.
If you don't know what pennant is, what's pennant?
Tennis.
There we go.
Tennis. The match we played these guys before, we won. I think that what round was that, T-Gub? That was
like round 4 or 5 week or something.
Early in the season. And we played that at home and we beat them. And me and Tiga probably both played the best like individual games of tennis we've ever played. I personally definitely did. I'm not sure about Tiga. But it comes to a semi-final, a sunny, hot Saturday day, the same day that Geelong absolutely beat the crap out of West Coast in the last round of the home and away season.
Oh, that's right.
And we were playing on genuinely the biggest dust bowls you could imagine.
It's like batting in Delhi.
Yeah, or genuinely batting on the pitch in England right now. The you know, that dust bowl. But I mean, I only played singles. T-Gub, you played doubles and singles. So how did you go in your doubles match?
We got absolutely waxed, love and won, and then proceeded to have a 2-hour match on court and lost 2-2. But yeah, anyway, Janus, the rest of us.
I proceeded to jump on for the singles match. I was probably on court for, an hour and 15, barely anything. I proceeded to get whacked 6-love, and then 6-2. I saw a crawl it back in the second set, but it wasn't enough. I was just completely outplayed, and we were playing. I was playing a lefty on a dust bowl.
It's a gun.
And he was a very good player. Lovely guy though.
Yeah. Next time.
Yeah. For context as well Janus player was playing.
I haven't played Pennant.
Janus was playing number four, I think, and I was playing number two. I was playing number two or three. I can't remember. Anyway, Janus and the number two. No, whatever. Two matches finished in the time it took me to play mine. And I lost 6-2, 6-2. It was the longest 2-2 of my life. Anyway, Cookie, your biggest blowout.
Used to be a basketballer back in the day.
What do you mean you used to be?
Well, true. I still
are.
But I used to formerly be a bit better, kind of. Not really, actually. Anyway, long story short, we got moved up to under-19s A grade in the Ballarat League. For the first time, I'm like, all right, here we go. You know,
shout out Rap.
You know in local sport when there's just that one team and they literally just built just a bunch of freaks? First game in under-14 A grade. We get drubbed by like 95 points, which in local basketball with 2 20-minute halves is borderline impossible.
That's ridiculous.
You know the worst part? You know when the mercy rule comes in local basketball where they let you walk over half court before they can press you? That's what happened. That happened at like halftime. And we're in A grade. It's just like, are you serious?
Jeez.
Like, it's just one of those days. Absolutely horrible. But that's local sport for you. And I think we went straight back down the next game. Something like that. Not good.
Yes.
Not good at all.
No, that's tough. That's
definitely.
That's brutal. I'd say, I mean, up until I started playing basketball, of which the team gets regularly beaten by, I would say, 35 to 50 points every week. Before, I never really had a massive blowout, fortunately. I mean, the Pennant final wasn't great. But I'd say from a positive standpoint, we went into a footy season. The year we won the premiership, actually, we'd lost to this team previously in the season prior, going into round one. We just lost a grand final after the siren. And we're like, right, this is a big game. We lost to these blokes last year by like 20 points or something. This is a big game. This is a big contest. Let's fire up. Like, we're ready to go. We won by 114 points and they didn't score.
Bloody hell.
And it got to half time. Like, at quarter time, it was like 6-0. Oh, actually, they might have scored a point. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was 6-0 at quarter time. And the coach was like, great start, boys. Like, let's just keep building this. And then I think at halftime, it was like 14 or 13-0. And then we're just like, well, this is over. Then we proceeded to like, just, we're just mucking around in the second half. I think one of the halfbacks decided to kick a torp from the square. Like, we're just doing really dumb. We actually should have won by like 160, but we were stuffing around. But that's a more positive blowout. We were so hyped up for this game and we just dismantled them.
A bit like Port and Hawthorn and Gather Round.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yep.
We're expecting it, except Port won the final and then the rematch.
Rip.
But yes, I would say that's probably the biggest blowout I've been a part of. But it was positive, which is good. The Pennant one wasn't great, though. That was a tough day. I was playing with a strained hamstring.
That was a very, very tough day.
So I shouldn't have played. I was playing with a strained hamstring. I should not have played that day. But when
you are
step,
a trooper, though.
When you step on the lot, when you step on the court, no excuses. So, no excuse for me playing injured. I can mull about it before and after, but not during. Well, not now. I can't use it as an excuse. But yes.
Now, speaking of being injured, I'm going to take us to England. The fourth test match between England and India just happened. Ben Stokes had run himself into the ground. He won player of the match. But That's not what that game will be remembered for.
Yes.
Ben Stokes, the game ended up being a draw, and with about 15 overs to go, both a result was out of the question. And Ben Stokes wants to call a draw early. But Sundar and Jadeja, I think, in the late 80s, you know, pushing 90s, and they want to make 100. And Ben Stokes puts his hand out, basically saying, "I want to shake your hand. I want to shake your hand. Let's call it a draw." And they're like, "No, bro. Get stuffed. We want to play it out." And then he proceeds to be the most petulant captain you've ever seen. Throws the throws the bathwater out with the baby. Has the biggest, basically, tantrum you've ever seen. Basically saying, "Oh, you want to make 100 against Harry Brook? Blah, blah, blah." Anyway, it got me thinking. The cricket gods have a very wonderful way of working. They're very karmic, the cricket gods. If we remember back to 2023, when Bairstow got stumped, they had a sook about the spirit of cricket. Guess what happened? Old Trafford, rained out. Australia retained the Ashes. Siraj, this in the Border Gavaskar Trophy, has a crack at head after he made 160 and absolutely batted him around the park and got him to fetch about 175 balls from the fence.
Bang.
Gave him a send-off. Guess what? Bumrah gets injured. Australia win the trophy. That's karma. So, it got me thinking, what are some of the biggest karma moments in sport? Cookie, kick us off.
Well, don't have to go too far back to remember when we just come off that beautiful win against the Dogs, 97,000 at the G. Oh, it was one of the best days we've ever had at the footy. And then Guinea decides to completely neglect the fact that we have to go to Adelaide 8 hours away by car and beat Port Adelaide. He says, I'll see you in Sydney, Brody Grundy," or whatever he said. Well, Guinea, great man, that's not how football works. You've got to beat who's in front of you. So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, I hate everything. Because I'm a nuffy, I drove to Adelaide, watched Guinea play the worst final I've ever seen, and then Kenny gave him the blue, blue, blue right after the game, and I was like, oh my God, Guinea, you're going to give me, like, issues. You're going to scar me for life. Anyway, karma hit Guinea like an absolute bust that day, and I will still never forget it. But anyway, that's the football gods. You don't play with the football gods. Number one rule of football.
Number one rule of any sport.
Exactly. You do not play with the gods.
Exactly. Which probably takes us to the most famous. You talk about, like, voice saying, like, talking. I can't even articulate this properly. Being your words coming back to bite you. When Clay said, "I guess he just got his feelings hurt," in after game 4 of the 2016 NBA Finals, and then they replayed that quote to LeBron, and LeBron goes, "That's what Clay said," or "What did Clay say?" and then just starts laughing, and then proceeds to him and Kyrie, I think, put on 40 each in game 5, and then obliterated them in 6 as well, and then famously won game 7. So, talk about karma. Janus, I believe you've got a world game example.
I do. I'm going to take us back to the 2024 Premier League season.
Oh, yes.
Manchester City had just come off their fourth Premier League title in a row. And they played Arsenal in a home game, I think it was. And after scoring a late equaliser, Erling Haaland got the ball at the back of the net and threw it at the head of Gabriel, the Arsenal defender. At full time, he goes up to Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager, and tells him to stay humble, eh? Stay humble. Basically saying, like, put your head in, blah, blah, blah. Well, little did the football world know that would have been one of the most cursed interactions a player has ever had with a manager. Because after that, Manchester City proceeded to have their worst ever patch in Premier League history, in Pep Guardiola's Premier League tenure. They had one win in 13 matches at one point. And for the first time in Pep Guardiola's managerial career, he lost 5 games in a row.
Bang.
Crazy.
That's and funny. Jeez.
This losing streak didn't just extend to Premier League. It extended to Europe. And City, during this time, were up multiple times in certain Champions League matches, specifically the one against Real Madrid. But they proceeded to get an equaliser score in them by Brahim in the 86th minute. And then in stoppage time, Jude Bellingham proceeds to score the winner in the first leg. They lose that game 3-2. They go to Real Madrid, lose that game 3-1. I think they lose 6-3 on aggregate, get knocked out of the Champions League.
Bang.
And I, for one, thought it was absolutely bloody hilarious. It was so good to see City's downfall. Go Hammers.
Then throw the salary cap cheating on top of that.
Joke is, though, they still beat West Ham 4-0 during that period. So.
Oh, well, after yes. After that period.
So that's
gonna say I couldn't remember annoying.
No, to be honest, that was the one game. Like they were coming out of that like patch, and I reckon there's gonna be one game where they're gonna win. They're gonna get their sort of juice back. It's gonna be against us, and it was. We lost that 4-0.
Bang.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta keep your mouth shut, boys.
Certainly.
I like to think I'm good at that. I try not to poke the bear too much.
No.
In sport?
Yeah, that's...
It will always find a way.
Correct. It'll
always find a way. In life.
Gods. The gods, they work in wonderful ways.
Unless you're playing at Ely Park in a semi-final. And,
oh.
You just know you're on.
Oh!
I remember... Our teammate was panicking. He was so nervous. And I was hitting the ball well. And then I just looked at him. I'm like, just trust me. We'll be fine. And then, like, talk about peak performance. That's in one of my top sporting performances ever. That was just...
The second flag in a row.
Yes. What would you say your best performance is individually, Cookie? We'll do a bit of a self pump up. It's important to pump yourselves up. What's your best performance of all time? That may not be on a stats book, but it's just what is Cookie's best performance of all time?
My basketball team watching knows what happened a couple of seasons ago in the grand final. We looked down and out pretty much. That was probably down by 10 points with like 3 minutes to go. And basically, I said, I'm going to the ring. It's literally what I said. I'm going to the rack, and someone's got to stop me. And they couldn't stop me. They just kept fouling and fouling, and I just kept hitting free throws and hitting free throws and hitting free throws. We ended up winning by a point.
Oh,
and it was magical. It was absolutely magical.
That is beautiful.
Oof.
That is inspirational. Janus, what about you?
I've got a few, and they all come on the tennis court.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, we had that one against the team that we ultimately lost to in the semi-final.
Yeah.
But then there was another one where I was up. I mean, you were watching this one, T-Lub. I was up 7-love.
Oh, yes.
Tactical, like... I was like Neo. I was like seeing the ball before it came, and I just knew where I could put it.
Yeah,
you know, I was literally like hacking into the mainframe. You
played so well
and
that day.
Got to the point, but that was I was playing. That's the most tactical I've ever played. Like just placing the ball, just like being a savant.
He was like
ball.
Roger out there. It was just perfect. It was flawless.
It got
tennis.
To the point. Yeah, it got to the point where, like, you know that the opponent was like, "Bruh, how are you doing this?" And we swapped sides at 7-love. And I had to serve. And I just, when I got the ball, I just felt the like savantness just leave me. And I go, oh, I don't feel like serving anymore. I proceed to serve the most tight juice game you've ever seen. 7-1. He gets the service game back, 7-2. Luckily, I bring it back 8-2. So sort of put a bit of a dampener on it.
Took the dub.
And then the final for the second flag with the freshman.
Oh, yes. I won Vale.
6-5, I think.
You belted that bloke on court.
No, I didn't belt him. That was like, I was stuck in such a mental, like, that I had to fight mentally to get out of that game. You belted him.
Oh, that's right.
I had to fight. Like, that was probably closer than it should have been on paper. But, like, I really, really had to, like,
pressure.
Dig in.
That was a pressure.
And find a way. And it was a pressure game because I think winning that meant that we'd won it.
Yeah. That was pressure. And you delivered.
So and you boys, though, I don't really perform with pressure all that well, but that was the time when
you always have that flag in the tennis change rooms on the wall. Just
stepped up.
Two flags, by the way.
Dose.
We did
famous Instagram posts of us holding Das. Put the beers away, get the champagne on ice. That was beautiful.
Okay. Another thing we had, just to round off our discussion, boys, this week. I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed the union. It's been great. The MCG was absolutely packed. 90,000.
I thought you were going with the CFMEU then.
Oh, no. 90,000 there on Saturday night.
Yes.
To see the British Lions take on the Wallabies. And I was thinking, this sport is great. You can just see these massive butterbean blokes walking around. Like, you know the funniest thing? When someone breaks the line and they try to chase, and they're just... It's just so good to watch. Anyway, so I was like, what are the best sports where size don't matter? Because we just love those sports. Like, yes. Really. The thing that comes to mind instantly, the darts.
Oh, yes.
Hell yeah.
There's just nothing better. I'll tell you what. I went through a period last Christmas at Ali Paddy, Alexander Palace in London.
The world champs.
The world champs. I reckon I watched like 9 mornings of darts. It's so good. You have to watch it this year when it comes around.
It was a pleasure.
We Tim and I were in Phillip Island. We literally just got up every day and just watched like 3 hours of darts. It was awesome.
Oh, it was so good. Peak male athletic performance and female too, but we only watched the men's matches, but it was just, oh, there were some big blokes. It's just amazing. It's just great. What are some other ones?
You know what's funny? Just quickly, after we watched the darts, we'd go into our little shed out the back. We'd play darts. And what did I do? Didn't I break the bed?
No, I think Jim.
How'd you do that?
I think I sat on a bed and just went through it.
Oh, that's right. No, you broke it.
I think I threw a dart. Must have been a bullseye. Jumped on the bed and went right through the bed.
Fair dinkum. He just went, and I swear it went into the door as well. And then he just goes, ah, and just fell back on this bed and just went straight through. Keep in mind, about 7 years ago, he did the exact same thing inside the house. There's like an outdoor like bedroom and an indoor. And we were playing back in the Clash Royale days.
Oh.
And he like torpedoed himself onto the bed and it just went straight through. Oh, it was beautiful. It was phenomenal.
Anyway, so that's one sport where we love the big blokes. Another one that I've seen come on my Instagram feed recently is the old power slap. Jane, have you seen any of this?
The power slap.
I have seen some of them.
Just the... Whoosh. It is phenomenal. How is that allowed? But I'll tell you what, you can get some, like...
Chuck E. Cheese.
You know, jeez. You get some the big jaws boys on these blokes. You get some boys where if they hit you, you're not going to wake up. Yeah, basically.
Lights out.
I've seen a few where like where they get like absolutely smacked by this big Russian bloke, and you see their face just become all like smooshed. You actually see their eyes like go lopsided, like they become like a Picasso painting.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it.
That's actually a great analogy.
Yeah,
that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just yes.
That is good.
I mean, boxing's one. I mean, you've got a few, like, Butterbean.
Yes.
Some big boys. I mean,
My biggest memory of Butterbean is not him in the ring. It's him knocking out Johnny Knoxville in the Jackass skit in the department store. That's right. He knocks him out. Puberty's happened. He's knocked him out. But I actually watched Johnny Knoxville like do a Wired autocomplete question interview thing. And if you watch that clip, you see him making like a really weird noise, like. And the question was like, what was that noise? And apparently the doctor said that noise is you trying to swallow your own tongue.
Oh, that's right.
After Butterbean hit him.
Yeah.
Butterbean knocked him out cold, bro.
He just went bang, and he, oh, that. Was,
that was hilarious. What, that is such a funny clip.
It's just... there's nothing like Jackass. It's that just so stupid, but it's so funny.
It's so stupid.
Love it. Now, to round off the Big Blokes discussion, I'll tell you what. Every July 4th, I love tuning in to Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest.
Because yes.
That is peak male performance, I'll tell you what. Especially Joey Chestnut, he could be argued that he could be the greatest sportsman of all time. Sportsperson of all time. I'm serious.
I need to have a look at this guy.
You think Bill Russell's 11 rings or whatever is good? Joey Chestnut has won this event 17 times.
He's not like, that big.
He's not
outwardly big.
Do you reckon trains his mouth? Like he eats dumbbells or something?
Probably. He's won it 17 times. And he eats like 76 hot dogs in like, I don't know how long.
That is exquisite.
It's a hell of I think it's peak male performance.
It is. I struggle getting through two hot dogs.
It is crazy.
Let alone bloody 76. Oh, I fully agree with that. Peak male athletes right there.
He looks like Bob Cousy a little bit.
The definition of a dad bod.
100%.
The hot dog eating legend.
No, that's actually, I watched this guy on
YouTube. Yeah, dad bod, yeah. Dad bod.
I watched this guy on video on YouTube called Beard Meets Food, and he just does eating challenges. Me in like 25 years, I'm just going to go around different pubs and just do their eating challenges and get heaps of free t-shirts. 100%.
Are you more of are you a fast eater? Or you ate a lot?
This reminds me, actually. When Janice and I were in the Gold Coast, I decided, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to do the Big Mac Challenge. I don't know if you've seen it on TikTok, but people are downing Big Macs in a minute, and they're timing themselves.
How'd you go?
And you know what? I finished it in 58 seconds. I was like...
But he gassed us out after that, but that's okay.
We
had to open a few windows, and... but he took a pretty good effort.
Surely
he started really well.
It's actually harder than you think. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. You started really well, and then it got to a point where you went, it got to about 30 seconds, and you...
Yeah, you got to finish it.
Yeah. Has to be completely full. Did you do it with water? You didn't even do it with water, which I thought was a bit silly.
No, I think the last gulp, I was like, I'm going to need water. I'm not going to...
Yeah, because you were 30 seconds in, and you were like, you still had half of it left, and you went, damn,
we're in trouble here, boys.
Like you can literally see, like, I've got the video. You can literally see the look of like desperation in his eyes once he gets halfway through. He goes,
"Yeah, surely the tactics eat two swallows, like half." No, and
I've seen one where they absolutely devour it in about 10 seconds.
Oh yeah, people do it.
They're mad.
I think it took me about 4 bites.
Yeah,
not much time. Like that. You should give it a go, T-Dub.
I will give it a go. One day. I reckon I'm a chance.
Yeah. Oh, you could do it. You gotta go. Like, Janus could do it. No way.
Oi. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's very presumptive of you.
Absolutely not.
I've seen you eat, Janus.
To be fair, give him a bag of chips and they're gone in 10 seconds.
But everyone can eat chips quickly.
Yeah, true. True.
Eating a burger is something entirely different.
But you need water. You need every bite needs water.
Just do like the hamsters. Just put like the straw in the side of your mouth and just... and just do that. Yeah. That's peak. That's a great list. I love that. I love that from you, Cookie. That's big from you.
Thank you.
Are we that's a wrap, I reckon.
I reckon that is. Give us one prediction for this week's games.
For footy, that's a great call.
Let's have a look.
Just give us one. Just one prediction.
The Blues have got the Dockers. They won't win that. I'm not going to keep them involved. I will say, I'll just be brave. The Hawk beat the Crom.
In a one point thriller.
One point thriller. Dylan Moore kicks 5.
Oh, he does like down that oval, I think. Jonas, what do you got?
I'll go the Dogs to do the double on the Giants.
Yeah.
Belt them?
Nah, it won't be a belting. I reckon they'll win by 2 goals.
Belting is on the cards. No Buckley and Ash is out as well, isn't he?
And no, Green.
I still don't think it'll be a belting. I think the history between the two clubs will negate that, but I reckon the Dogs will run away. Comfortable 2-goal winners.
Haven't the Dogs won like the last 10?
Well, they obviously won at the start of the year, but I can't recall.
The Dogs have got like the wood over them, I think. But yes, it is a rivalry.
We will see. I'm going to back in the Lions over the Pies. The G. That's a massive game.
Oh, I love that.
There's a lot of tickets being sold to that game.
I love that.
Close? Do you think?
What'd you say?
Do you think it'll be close?
I think it will be close. I reckon the Lions win by 10 points.
Oh.
Okay.
And Will Ashcroft has a generational game over Nick that makes his Brownlow just a Mickey Brownlow. Oh.
Now you're we'll just getting me excited.
Huge.
Anyway.
Tell you what, he's got that locked up.
Anyway, thank you all so very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. It was more of a conversational podcast today. Tried a little bit of a change up, but be a bit more personable rather than the stats-fed robots that we have been known to be in the past. Hope you enjoy listening.
Let us know what you think.
Go, yes, comment on any of the videos you see on the socials. Help us grow and become a sporting educational powerhouse. Have a big final quarter, everyone, and we'll see you next week.